Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands.
Lunch with Norm.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Today we're going to have Amy Weiss on, the CEO of Amazing at Home, and we're going to be talking about some of the new updates with Amazon listings. How's that? By the way, Amy was just telling us about the storms in Texas, which I'm sure everybody knows about, but she lives in San Antonio, and it's just crazy what she was telling me. But anyway, if anybody else is in Texas right now, let us know in chat, you know, how you're doing and, you know, just how it is down there right now. So, okay, Kelsey, where are you?
Hello. Happy Monday. How are you?
Happy Monday to you, sir. Oh, before you ask people to smash things and ring things, we do have a Clubhouse thing going on at 1:30 today. So it's the Rise of the Micro Brands. And we're going to try to do it every Monday at 1:30. So I just wanted to squeeze that in. Plus, Kelsey, I just wanted to give a shout out to Manny, Giz, Marina, Simon, Faye. How are you today? Glad that you could join us. Mark, glad you could join us today. And now over to you, Squire.
All right. So as Norm said, we have a Clubhouse today. This happens every week. It's on Monday at 1:30 p.m. I'll throw the link in. Welcome, Rad and Mero. Welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, you can join us in our Facebook group, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and E-commerce Collective. That's where all the good stuff is. That's where you can connect with me and Norm, the guests on the show. You can join the community, ask questions, make some friends during these days, these cold winter days. And if you're looking for highlights or the full episodes, you can go over to the YouTube channel. It's Norman Farrar. That's where everything is. You can go back and watch the first episode, which I recommend as always. I think that's it. We do have a prize today, which is pretty exciting. It's a good one. So stick around to that.
And Steven's up at 4 a.m. in Australia. Thanks for joining. Hey, welcome Christina.
Okay. So let's get this thing on the road.
Perfect. So if you do have any questions or if you have any,
I thought you were going to do your line, but
go away. All right. So if you have any questions, just throw them over into the comments section. I like doing that to Kelsey, by the way. But anyway, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Welcome, Amy.
Hi. How's everybody doing?
Well, question is, how are you?
Well, I'm good now that the sun is shining, the power is on, the water is working, and, the internet is here and alive. Oh.
We're used to this, you know. I'm watching people walk a mile out on the lake. It's frozen. Now, it's freezing outside. Try smoking a cigar in minus 23 weather.
I'm from Wisconsin originally.
Oh, that's right. You just mentioned
that. I am very, very familiar with freezing cold. I remember I missed the bus when I was in middle school. I missed the bus one morning, and it was 30 below zero, and I had to walk to school. And I had dry hair. And by the time I got to school, my eyelids were like frozen shut from all of like the wind and, you know, the moisture in the air. And my hair was like icicles. Oh. And I was so bundled up, but it didn't, you know, so I never missed the bus again. After that I could drive in high school. But yeah, I learned my lesson.
Remember a kid in grade 6. Way back, and you used to have the bicycle poles that everybody used to put their bikes on, right? And this is out of Dumb and Dumber. The kid goes up.
Oh, he didn't put his tongue on that.
He did.
Oh,
and God. It froze. And oh my gosh, I won't get into the gory details, but not all of his tongue came back.
You know, in elementary school, that was the dare. We had this chain link fence. and people would dare each other to put their tongue on that fence. And we had so many kids stuck to that fence. It was terrible. Luckily, I was never dumb enough to do that. But yeah. Yeah.
So before we get into too many other gory things, for people who don't know Amy Weiss, can you give us a little bit of your background and what you do?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm an inventor. I'm an Amazon seller. I've been selling on Amazon since 2007. I started a private label brand in 2017. And I have a background, a military background. So I spent, 18 years in the Air Force, and I just left that job in 2018 to be a full-time entrepreneur. And I also am the founder of Amazing at Home, and we help brands launch unique and differentiated products online. We help them expand into retail, all of that kind of fun stuff. And yeah, it's so exciting to be a part of so many cool brands across Amazon and beyond. And I see a lot of really great folks here in the comments that that are in our amazing community, and awesome to see them here as well.
Well, we know that you have a giveaway, so why don't we talk about that right now so we can get the hashtag going and get people registered?
Yes. So my giveaway is I have a listing optimization masterclass, and it literally is, it's not just writing a listing, like it's everything. It is how to do your photos. It is how to build A+ content. If you want to learn how to do that, it is literally, you can start your own agency when you're done with my class. So it's very, very thorough. It's the same process that I use. I've written hundreds of listings, page one listings across Amazon, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. But this is my process. This is the process that I teach. So lots of people have taken this course and have gotten incredible results, and I'm giving it away to one lucky person for free today. So.
All right. Well, that's great. And what is the hashtag going to be, Kelsey?
I'm thinking hashtag Amazing Amy.
Oh, okay. Very good. Hashtag Amazing Amy. All right. So if you want to join and try to get that hashtag or get that prize just throughout the podcast today, just hashtag Amazing Amy. All right. And hello, Irma. Andrew, you're back. Oh, you're in Belgium today. Oh my God. He's all over the world. Ethiopia the last time, I think. Okay. Oh, and I see people are registering. So let's get down to it. We've talked a little bit about everything that's kind of going on right now, but let's talk about listings and what's changing. What's Amazon doing to change the listings?
It is so hard to keep up lately.
Oh, I know.
Like, first there was, did you guys see that when there was like 10 bullet points for a little while? And then and then there's still 10 bullet points on some listings, but then it went away on most of them.
So that was because of the search terms. Yeah, if you deleted your search terms, you got the extra bullet points on some listings.
Yeah, it was so weird. And then that was the other thing that happened is in the back end of the listing, we had in the keywords tab, we had search terms, target audience, subject matter, platinum keywords, right? And a bunch of that stuff disappeared. And all of a sudden, all we had was search terms. And we were like, and a lot of us were using those hacks. You know, we were using that we found out that target audience and subject matter both indexed. So we were using that. I was teaching that for years, and all of a sudden it was gone. And now I've noticed on some of the listings, it's come back or it's been moved to the more details tab. So
I love Amazon.
I guess
the consistency of it.
Look at Marina. She's hilarious. But the bottom line is the most important thing. And then the other thing that is changing is canonical URLs. So your canonical URL is the URL that's created when you write your title on Amazon. And so that is what is used by search engines to index you. right? So since Amazon is such a big domain, right, it needs a canonical URL. The search engines like Google use the canonical URL in your listing to see what you are, right? You're a, you know, flower vase, whatever, whatever you are, right? Well, a lot of people didn't know how to format their titles properly. And so they were, you know, they would put too many dashes in their title. And so if they were a flower vase, it would say something like flower, corn, glass, umbrella, you know, like just whatever. It would be like random words from their title. And so this was affecting how much they were showing up in a search off of Amazon, which 60% of Amazon's external traffic comes from search. So we needed to get our canonical URLs right. But now, and this is, I just did my class on policy and all of that, and looked at the recent policies for Amazon and the recent policies on canonical URLs. And that has also changed. So now, even though the search engines still use your canonical URL to index you, there's less ranking as far as like where you're showing up in search being put into your canonical URL. So that means that, again, it comes down to the fundamentals of listing optimization, which is your title and those five bullet points, they need to be optimized. You've got to, if you focus your attention there, you're going to do well no matter what, right? Because I've had a lot of people reach out to me and go, okay, well, what about my A+ content, Amy? Like, how can I make sure that I'm indexing for keywords there? And how can I make sure I'm doing all of that right? And the bottom line is, if you just do your title and your bullet points correctly from the beginning and you optimize those well, you're going to set yourself up for success. And then as well as using your backend keywords and filling in some of those backend fields, those additional backend fields. So those backend fields may change depending on the category that you're in. But you'll notice that there are a lot of fields that index, and how you can find that out is just start looking through Amazon, and you'll notice that some listings, they'll have like below the description, below their EBC, they'll have like instructions for use. They'll have all these different things. And then you can go into the back end of your listing and look for those same fields and fill them out and see what shows up on the front end. So, but the bottom line is, you got to get your title and your bullet points right. If you do that, you got 90% of listing optimization taken care of, right?
So I want to go back to the canonical. So we used to get the first five keywords. I mean, it was the thing
before
to do.
Before the dash, yes.
Yep. So, before the dash. And so, excuse me, I usually mute myself. But so you're saying that's not important anymore.
Well, it's not that it's not important. It's still used by the search engine for indexing you, right? Mm-hmm. For saying that you are the flower vase, right? But it is not as important for your ranking, because the search engine goes a step further beyond the canonical URL and they look at your title and stuff like that. Now, they don't get all the way into your bullet points. But your title, if your title has the right keywords in it intact, you want to keep those keywords intact if you can. And what I mean by intact is, if you're the flower vase, it's a terrible example. Like I need to think of like a better example, like blue water bottle. If you are blue water bottle with straw, you want to keep blue water bottle with straw intact. You don't want to put like blue tall, hexagonal design water bottle with cover and no, like the keyword that people are looking for is blue water bottle with straw. So you want to keep that intact, and then your less ranked keywords, that's where you'll put like with cover, and you don't have to necessarily right. keep those intact because they'll still index together. But your most important keywords, you want to try to keep those together, because the search engine looks for that keyword intact, and that does affect your ranking and you showing up for external search. But as far as I dug into this, like what Google is saying about canonical URLs and how they're using them, and it's really changed since about 2015. Every year there's been updates, and the most recent updates say like, eh, when it's a big domain like Amazon, yes, we're using it for the, to index you basically to say, yes, you're the water bottle, but we're not using it for ranking in search, if that makes sense.
Okay. And somebody, I think Muhammad just said, what is a canonical? So if you take a look at your typical Amazon listing, you'll see amazon.com/dp/your/asin/ a whole bunch of other stuff. It is just a, I guess, a user-friendly way of presenting the URL. So it would be amazon.com/dp/handmade natural soap.
Yeah.
And people look at that, like it's if you want to send that over to people, it just looks nicer. But it was also ranking better on Google because it had the main keyword in it. So that's how we would use it. And you could easily change it by just putting keywords at the very beginning, usually 5 keywords, either with a semicolon or a hyphen, and it would work. It would just change the or it would change the URL. You could see it, and you could use it when you're passing it along. Did I miss out anything there, Amy?
No, that's a perfect explanation. And the thing is, like, you should still make sure that your canonical URL is good, and you can open a case and change it. You can, I think you can click like F12 and view page source, and you can control F and look for canonical, and it'll pull up your canonical. And then you can open a case with Amazon and say, I would like to change it to this, but keep it short, like, you know, and keep it intact for that main keyword that you're looking for, right? So you still want to use your canonical URL for that, because it's used by the search engine for purpose of indexing you on Amazon as part of that node, right? But in terms of, like, you know, worrying about whether or not if your canonical is wrong, then you're not going to rank for the keywords in your title, that's just not true. And I've been testing that as far as, like, looking and seeing what someone's canonical is and searching it. And their competitors that don't have the exact same canonical are still showing up as high in search as long as those keywords are intact in their title.
Okay. Before we get into the actual listing optimization, just a question. So going in and changing a listing manually or changing a listing by flat file, what would you suggest?
Well, I love a flat file only because it bypasses having to deal with seller support. You know, often when you click the edit button on your listing and you're trying to especially change your title, oh my gosh, right? They will not change your title. They will not. But if you use a flat file, it's much, much easier to change everything at once. And the update is almost, you know, instant.
Yeah. And the other thing that I like about it is if you have variables, it's very specific. So you can't mess up your listing in the back end or going over and editing it, putting something or some value that doesn't make sense, and then, you know, saving it and you're wondering why there's a problem with your listing. Flat files, although it's a little challenging if you've never done them before, but if you go through each field and you take a look at the definitions and just follow it, then it's probably the better way. I've always said if you're doing any type of editing, always use a flat file. Yeah. But you gotta know what you're doing, because you could wipe out most of your listing if you don't like partial update, right? Or something like that. But just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, with your listing, we're talking about it right now. That's one way to do it. That's much better, at least from my end, to than doing it manually. Oh my gosh, you know what? This is only my 7th or 8th cup of coffee today. I have to get to about the 10th, and then I'm good, Amy. All right, so let's go through the title then. Let's talk, okay. or if you want to go to the images, we could do that too.
I was just laughing at what Gizmo put in there. The fight between human optimized versus keyword optimized titles is the epic reptile mammal battle. I love it. Yes. Well, you know, I just have to say that I think there needs to be a good balance. There needs to be a good balance of human optimized and keyword optimized. And the way that we do it in the masterclass is we write as humans first. We define our differentiation. We write as humans. We go through, we actually have a template for each bullet point and our different, we call out our differentiation in the title. But then after we are human and we make that human connection, then everywhere we mention something like, okay, blue water bottle, this blue water bottle is going to change your life. You know, we write everything up and we make it sound really good. And we focus our bullet points on the sales cycle. So we take people through the sales cycle with our photos and our bullet points. And so that is the way that we copyright that really, really converts in a great way, because people in the sales cycle, the first thing that they're asking is, okay, what is it? You know, is this thing for me? They want to know, is it for me? Is this, you know, and that's whether they visit your website or whatever. They want to know, is this for me? So you need to ask, you need to answer that question in both your title. And that's essentially the answer to that question is your unique sales proposition. Whatever it is that you're selling that meets their need, you need to be calling that out in your title in some way and in your first bullet point. And so that's why we always define that first. And then we write the rest of our bullet points. And the rest of our bullet points take you through the sales cycle. So after they go, oh yeah, I do actually need a water bottle that's like that. That does meet my need. Okay, great. Well, what do I get? The next thing that they're always asking is, well, what do I get in the sales cycle? What's included? They want to know what's in the box, right? What do I get with it? How big is it? How, you know, whatever. So we always do, our second bullet point is always what's included. So, you know, what you get a cover, you get a straw. It's double walled, so it keeps it cold all day. It fits 60 ounces of water so that you know, always stay hydrated. You know, so you're calling out the things that you get, right? Because that's what's in the customer's mind. And if you're doing that also in your photos, so after your main photo, if your next photo after that is calling out your unique sales proposition, why they should buy your product and not your competitors, they're like, ooh, I want to see more photos. The next photo, if your next photo is what's included, you're answering their questions as they're thinking through. And so we always write the listing first and then we design the photos based on the bullet points. And the bullet points are based on the sales cycle that they go through. So after they find out what's included, then they start to have doubts because they go, okay, I get it and I like it, but will it break? Can I trust it? You know, is it for me? So then our next bullet point, and this, a lot of people put this as bullet point number 5, but I think that's a mistake. Nobody reads to bullet point number 5. Remove the risk now. Tell them that it's a high quality product and that you stand behind that quality and that you're delivering that quality to them. If you have a lifetime warranty, you better include that and have a photo of it. Like, I can't tell you how many people are like 100% money back guaranteed, you know, and they have no photo, nothing that shows that quality and that they stand behind the quality of their product. Right. And then our next bullet point is always multiple uses because, okay, I like it. It's quality. It's for me, but maybe I don't really need it right now. Well, you're going to remind them all the different ways that they can use this product. So you're going to say, oh, well, this is really great for the gym and using it on your bike. And, you know, it's really not great for all those things, but you get it, right? You're telling them all the different ways that they can use it. And they're just like, oh, wow. Maybe I should get 2 of them, you know, and then you have a photo showing all the different ways that it can be used, right? And then our last bullet point is always, we change this around. This is our seasonal bullet point. So we either use it as a gift bullet point, and then we always have a photo that represents that gift, and we'll switch out that photo for different, like Christmas, stuff like that, right? Like, I would love to have a picture of Norm wearing my products at Christmas so that I can, you know, the bearded guy. It's very, very effective for sales.
With a bow in my head.
But yeah, so those are our 5 bullet points. But yeah, as far as that goes, you guys, it write as a human first. Use that template that I just gave you to write your 5 bullet points, and then make sure you have a photo to represent each bullet point, and it's going to take the customer through their sales cycle, and it converts like crazy. It just does really, really well. But write it first, then add in your keywords. Because everywhere that I mention this amazing water bottle, this water bottle, this water bottle, this water bottle, while I'm writing, I'm not worried about keywords. Where if you start with a list of keywords and you're like, okay, how can I describe this product? And you see, it still has my Five Below sticker on it. But how can I describe this product by using the word, the keyword, water bottle with top, you know, and you're trying to fit every single keyword in there and you're not writing to the human. So if you write to the human first, and then every time you mention water bottle, you go back through and you add in your keywords, you now have an optimized listing that also reaches the human. It's very effective.
Very good. So I am going to just stop for a second and, as they say in Clubhouse, reset the room. Anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know, anybody that's new, anybody who tuned in halfway, that Amy is giving away a really great giveaway today. And that's on the full Listing Optimize course that she has. And everything, if you think that, you know, this is great stuff that you're hearing right now, just make sure that you type in hashtag Amazing Amy. You'll be entered right away. We'll be doing that at the end of the podcast. And I see a ton of new people here that are joining. So welcome to the community. If you have any questions, throw them in there. I'm doing all Kelsey's job for him right now. But Kelsey,
you did such a great job.
Anything else?
I was going to add, if you want an extra entry, you can tag two people in the comment section and I will throw in your name twice. So you'll get a bonus entry too. So if you share with someone, or if you post hashtag Amazing Amy and then you comment two people's names, so you just press the at button and then tag two people, you'll get an extra entry.
Okay. Perfect. All right. There you go. So Amy, I got more of a comment than anything. You were just talking about on the titles. One of the things that Shane Oglo came up with over at PRReach when he was doing keyword research, he was like, there was a lot of people that were coming and saying, oh, you gotta, we're optimizing for this. We're optimizing for this keyword. And he came back to them and he would say, wrong keyword, but it's got the best search volume. Wrong keyword. And so what, at the end of the day, it's not how much search volume you have, it's how many sales. So we were using, and we've gone over to seller.tools, where they have and I don't have an affiliation or anything with seller.tools, but what we've done is we've worked with their keyword tool, and it tells you right beside it, oh, you have 20,000 search volume for this keyword, you might only get 15 sales. You got another one that's 1,000 that might end up getting 200 sales. So even though your competition is targeting those high volume keywords, let them.
Yeah.
For us, we're telling people target the keywords that are going to convert and get you orders. What are your thoughts on that? Not that I'm going to put you on the spot or anything.
No, I love that question so much. Our class, after one of our first classes after your unique selling point, is your main keyword. And this is basically the keyword that you're trying to optimize for. And that's exactly what we teach too. Like, just because water bottle has probably 5 million searches, you know, doesn't mean that that's your main keyword. And so the way that I always try to put this out there for people is like, what keyword do you want to be on page one for? And this should be a medium to long tail keyword. Like, it shouldn't be, you know, like, it might have the seed, I call it a seed keyword, right, of water bottle inside of it. But what is that medium to long tail keyword that you want to be on page one for? And you should actually go to page one for that keyword and see, what is the competition? What's the buyer intent behind that keyword, right? If a customer is searching for blue water bottle, what are they looking for? This isn't actually a bottle. It's a cup, you know, it's a cup with a straw, you know? So water bottle wouldn't be my main keyword. I need to look where I'm going to be able to, and I always say this, like, if we had to pay for PPC to get to the top of page one, I organically like to be on page one if I can be from the very start. If I could optimize for page one and there's an opportunity and it's a highly relevant medium to long tail keyword, I'll use that all day long. But if I can't, let's say I'm in a more competitive niche, right? If I can't, and I had to run PPC for that. But if I ran that PPC and I would convert all day long, then that would be okay with me, right? So I completely agree with you, Norm, that you have to know what your keyword is. And it's not always the highest search volume. Sometimes it's the best opportunity and the highest relevancy for the customer that's looking for your product.
Very good. I just saw something come up. I got horrible eyesight. Something about 100%, I'm confused. Do you want to bring up that question or ask?
I'm not sure.
Sai says there's a fight between this masterclass and that masterclass because we're all talking about the fight. And he says he's confused.
But you know what? And with this, I want to really make sure that everybody is aware of this. Everybody has different ways of doing things. 100%. Yeah. Amy's got a way of doing it. I might have a way of doing it. There might be 10 other people. But at the end of the day, I know Amy gets results. Oh, hi, Connie. Connie's getting me some more coffee.
I need a Connie. Connie, I need coffee too.
Hey, come here. Amy wants to say hi to you.
Well, you gotta squeeze in. Oh, yeah. That's easier said than done. Hello.
There, with my coffee. There we go. So anyway, there's many different ways that we can present writing your titles. What's the best way? You're going to hear different guests that come on here. Amy's done this with hundreds, if not thousands, of products. So take it, run with it. And guess what? If you find at the end of the day, when you're monitoring it, for some reason it's not working, it might not be because of what Amy's saying. Amazon might have tweaked something. So this is where you get those updates, and like the canonical today. Now that's something that's a little bit different. You know, like the search terms in those 10 bullets, you know, what's the reason for that? But don't freak out like, oh, I've got 10 different people. Pick one that sounds really good for you and just try it out. And then like you'll go over to Helium 10, they'll be telling you something. And then you know, you'll be listening to a course and they'll tell you something. But at the end of the day, like if you're listening to the podcast, hey, Amy's talking about this. We had Diane on the other day last month, and she was talking about a different way. All incredible ways of ranking, just different styles. So that's just my rant on confusion. So hopefully you don't get too confused about this. But everything that you're saying right now, 100% agree with. And I do have a question. Let's go back to the flat file. There's, with the algorithm, what are the fields that you see ranking right now by the algorithm? What should we put our attention to?
The fields that are ranking. Okay, so it depends on the category because everybody has different fields. So that's the problem that I've noticed. Yeah. Is that some categories have them. So even in my private label brands, some of my, like I noticed I have a cat toy that I just launched, and in that category, all of them were back. So like everything was back in there. But then I have some other stuff in the home goods category and it's not there, but the bullets were there. And I was like, what is the deal with this? It's all over the place. So anyway, I just stick with what I know. And so the thing is that they have noticed though, is that whether or not if those subject matter, target audience, if those fields have been moved to your more details tab, or even like instructions for use, I think is one of them. If those fields have been moved to another tab, or, you know, they're there at all, they do index. Now but their ranking is not as high as like your bullet points in your title, right? Now search terms does rank just as high as your bullet points in your title. We know that. But the rest of them are like, it's kind of like your description. It's kind of like the other keywords that you could use. It's kind of like the words that are in your reviews and your Q&As. Like those all rank, they don't rank as high as something that's in your title, unless suddenly people are searching for, I've seen this happen before, like where somebody will leave a review for you and it mentions like, I use this product as a soap dish, you know, and it's not a soap dish or whatever. And a bunch of other people are like, I love it. It's a soap dish for me too. And then suddenly your listing starts showing up as that product and a soap dish, you know, and people start buying it for that. And then you're ranking a lot for that. So you still have those external ranking factors like search, find, buy that are really going to rank that keyword, whether or not it's in your description or your backend search terms or wherever it is, based on, you know, people actually finding your listing and buying it for that, right? But in general, it's better to use those fields as kind of like supplementary. So I've used, and I think Manny mentioned, like, if you only target one keyword, you know, then you're going to miss out on all these opportunities. That's not what we're saying, Manny. We're saying make sure that you're optimizing. You don't want to try and sell, you know, if I'm selling this water bottle, right? I don't only want to sell it as a water bottle, but I don't also want to try and sell it as a cup and a water bottle and a tea cup and a coffee cup and a mug. I don't want to try and get all those words in there, because ultimately a search engine, the way any search engine works for optimization, is it sees what listing is the most relevant for a search term. This is how I get so many Amazon's choice badges right after I write a listing. It's because I'm the most relevant for that keyword. And I use a tool that was written by my podcast partner, Andy Arnott. He's an SEO genius. He's taught me so much about SEO, but he has this tool where you put in your main keyword and it crawls all of the pages on Amazon, but not just on Amazon, outside of Amazon. And it tells you what keyword phrases to use in what order of importance in order to be the most relevant for that keyword. And so that's like my trick. That's like my little cheater tool, because the rest of the tools that I've used, and I've used a lot of them, I have, you know, Helium 10, I've got Zonguru, I've got all these other tools. The rest of the listing optimization tools that I've used, you put in your keywords and it spits out what it thinks you should use. The difference in Andy's tool is you put in one main keyword and it tells you how to become the most relevant for that keyword in the exact order that you need to put them in.
So I am going to talk to you and Andy about this app. Now, I'm curious, is the app available for everybody or is it just a proprietary app that you guys are using?
Oh, no, it is. It's one of the tools in Seller SEO's suite of tools. So. Yeah.
And Andy's an amazing guy too, by the way. And what you said about SEO, absolutely brilliant, brilliant guy. All right. So now let's move over to, I have a question about something that's very minor. Well, I guess I just answered my own question because you can't do it anymore. Do you answer with a keyword?
So you're breaking up, Norm. Can you ask the question again?
Sure. So if you answer, you know, when you have your listing and somebody asks you a question, should you answer with some form of keyword phrase? I know it's not going to give you a lot of relevancy, but or a lot of weight, but it, from what I understand, the algorithm still picks up that keyword in the question or the answer.
Yes, I would. I always try to think in terms of keywords, whether I'm, you know, when I'm writing an answer, when I'm writing a description, when I'm doing anything like that, like across the internet, I always try and think in terms of keywords. So I think it definitely helps. And, you know, it also boosts your relevancy there as well. Like, right. You know, however many times you're using that keyword phrase or related keyword phrases.
And one thing that you were mentioning, and I was talking to Stephen Pope about this a little while ago. So you launch, and maybe you're talking about your purple water bottle, and or water cup or whatever you're going to be using. What he said, and I like how he did it. He said, let's get ranked for this product first. Let's wait until we're relevant and we're zoned in. And then we could go broader. And that's when you start to bring in some other keywords, but you're already ranking solid for this. And then he starts to add in and he starts to mix in some other, you know, just other keywords, or he does a bundle of some sort. But the focus is purple water bottle, you know, on the listing, or something with straw. So I like that, you know, where now you could bring in cup or whatever, and you could put it in possibly into the back end, but he has to establish first. And let's go over now to the A+. What are your thoughts on A+ and product description?
Well, I think if you don't have A+ content yet, you need to have an HTML formatted product description. That product description comes up first on mobile. And so we want to make sure that the listing looks nice. Like, you don't want it to just be this like big blob of text, you know, because customers are like, what? I can't even read that, you know, especially on your mobile phone. So tip number one, make sure that you're using an HTML formatting tool, right? So there's a lot of free tools. Seller app has one. There's a one, AmazonDescriptionEditor.com is another one. But use that. Don't use you have to keep, in Amazon's policy, it says that HTML is not allowed. And then it says something like, except for like paragraph breaks and stuff like that. So that's why you want to use like an Amazon product description editor tool, because it uses very basic HTML and it's not like, oh, we want blue words with bold. And, you know, that is not going to work, you know. So the bottom line is at least make sure it's HTML formatted. And then any text inside of, whether you're using EBC or you're using a product description, it does index. It can index. It takes longer to index. I've heard so many times, and I really want to put this to rest. I've heard so many times that only the first 1,000 characters in your listing index. That is not true. I have tested this extensively across hundreds of listings. But what is true is when you first launch, the way that your listing indexes is through page visits. Because the search engine visits your listing and it goes, at first it goes, okay, it reads the title and it's like, okay, it's a water bottle. Got it. You know, good. But then after it starts getting more visits, then you'll notice that you start to index for more and more and more keywords that are further down in your listing. So when you first launch and you try and like reverse search your listing for a certain keyword that's like in bullet point number 5, you're not going to get it there, right? You're not going to index for that yet. So there's this thing that went out for a long time. And I don't remember who was all behind it, but there was this thing where people were saying, don't do anything past 1,000 characters. It won't index. That's not true at all. You have 2,000 characters in your description. You have 500 characters in each bullet point, depending on your category. Some categories only allow, I think, like 80 characters, like jewelry or something like that. But and then you have 200 characters in your title that you can use. They will all index. What I like to do is keep my bullet points around 300 characters for that purpose, Norm, like you were saying, of if I want to add in more keywords later, because if you rewrite your title and everything, you will force a full reindex by the search engine, and then you're going to lose all your ranking for blue water bottle that you got when you try to add in cup. But if you leave some space to kind of play around and you know where your keywords are, you can go into your bullet points or into your description and add in some of those additional keywords without forcing a full reindex of your listing. And then you can start working on that. Because remember, you guys, when you're running PPC, your PPC goes off of the relevancy of that keyword that you're bidding on to your listing. That's the number one factor in your placement for your PPC. And then it looks at relevancy. It looks at your match type, broad, phrase, exact, and then it looks at your bid against all the other people who are bidding. So that's why listing optimization is the foundation of everything else that you do. So as far as EBC goes, as far as A plus content, EBC, whatever we're calling it nowadays, that's another thing that's changed recently, right? As far as that goes, I love EBC. I think that it looks really great. It makes your listing look more professional. I love that you can recommend other products in your line. I mean, who wouldn't use it for that? You can lead more people to your storefront. It's really, really awesome. So I would definitely highly recommend using A plus content / EBC, whatever we're calling it now. But the text in that, if you use the text blocks, if you use a text on photo, that's not going to index, right? But the text inside of the text blocks does, because it's just like a web page, right? It's just like you filling out a field in Seller Central and it going on the front end of your listing. So those kinds of things do index. And although my focus is always, I try to fit as much as I can. I don't keyword stuff, but my goal is 2 to 3 keyword phrases in each bullet point and the title. And that formula has worked very, very well. And then in the whole description, I try to fit 2 to 3. And then in the EBC, if I'm doing EBC, I try to fit 2 to 3. Just phrases, period. And then search terms, I don't repeat keywords in my search terms. I use misspellings, Spanish words, that's really great. And also just other words that are left over from my list. I love reverse searching my competitors and then doing a duplicate word removal and pulling those words that that I haven't used in my listing yet and using those in the search terms as well.
One of the things that we'll do with some of our products, last bullet is in Spanish.
Ooh, I like that. Or you could use like the instructions for use field. you could use the instructions for use field as well. Yeah. And, or, you know, like some of the features, some of the other bullets, like the materials and stuff like that, you could use that as your Spanish bullets. Because those show up above your bullets in your listing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely one. I've never done that, but that's definitely something you could do. Okay, so we have a couple questions, Kels.
Yeah, and I think you're breaking up a little bit.
I don't know what it is. Internet. My side, the internet looks good. It's 5 bars.
It's a little funny, but I'm enjoying it. okay, so let's see. We had a couple questions here. Just give me a second. We had a bunch that came in. Okay. Does writing search terms HTML useful in optimization? If yes, how much?
Does writing search terms HTML useful in...
I think it's about the product description HTML. You just went over that.
Okay. And let me see. Oh, people are wondering what the name of the tool was.
Oh, it's called Seller SEO. So Seller SEO is the name of the tool. And then in is the name of the big tool, like the website. So you can go to sellerseo.com. And then the tool inside of it is called Listing Lightning.
Okay. And let me see. Potential buyers type different relevant ways, but target the same product. How would your approach be in that case? Which keyword would you pick? Search volume.
What I do is I look for where I want to be. And that's what I always tell folks, like, where do I want to be? Yes, they do use different relevant ways to pick to target the same product. And you can optimize your listing for both of those. So if I want to optimize this for water bottle and cup with straw, I can do that. But just be wary that I see a lot of sellers that don't focus on relevancy and they're like, okay, but Amy, what about the people that are looking for, you know, a water bottle? Like, won't I miss out on them if I don't optimize for water bottle and I optimize for cup with straw? Well, you're most relevant for cup with straw. And you're not going to be as relevant as you could be if you start putting your focus on other keywords that are not as relevant. So that's the thing is, search engine optimization is more about your whole of all of your keywords. Like if you ever write a blog post or anything like that, that's ever ranked on Google, it looks for relevant keywords that it stacks up next to other content, right? And goes, okay, well, this other piece of content here is super relevant for it, right? And it has these many phrases in it and everything like that. It's the same thing with your listing. So if you really want to be relevant, you have to focus on the customer that's buying that. So there's nothing wrong with, like, for me, calling this a cup or a glass with a straw and a cover, right? But calling it a water bottle, I might put it in there one time, but it's not my most relevant keyword. So I'm not going to be worried about that. But I've seen too many sellers that try to sell everything to everyone. And that's just not how buying works. I want a cup with a straw and a cover. That's what I'm looking for. And so if I'm looking for this and I see a water bottle, I might click on it. I call those curious clicks, and you're going to pay for those curious clicks, right? I might click on it, but I'm going to go right back and go, oh, that's cool. That's a cool water bottle. And then I'm going, oh, but I'm here. Yeah, it was a fun little shopping experience, but I'm here for my cup with my straw. So I'm going to go back, and you just pay for that click, that curious click. And it's not going to lead to a sale, because in most cases, people are looking for something specific.
Okay, great. This is from Victor. If you get indexed for a keyword that's only in one of the extra fields, subject matter, and then that field goes away, what happens to your indexing for that keyword? I assume you lose it too?
I think that you keep it. That's a really good question. I think that you still keep it, because as far as I know, the search engine has a memory. But it does crawl listings occasionally, right? It crawls your pages occasionally and updates. So over time, you might lose it. If it was an important keyword in your search terms, right, and you lost that field, I would work it in my listing somewhere, right? But if it was just like an extra keyword that you never really indexed for anyway, I wouldn't put too much effort behind it. When that happened and a bunch of people lost all those fields, that's exactly what I told them. I was like, okay, well, try to look for other fields that are in your more details tab and try to fit in those keywords there. But other than that, you know, and then you can try to fit them in throughout your listing. But if they're less relevant, you know, I do think that over time you would lose them as the search engine crawls the listing again. But yeah, you can rank for keywords from PPC that aren't even in your listing. So that's the thing.
Yeah. One of the things you can do too, Victor, is just go to like Helium 10 and check the indexing. You know, and once it drops, you'll know. Or when you're doing your keyword monitoring, you'll just see it just drop right off. But yeah, Amy, yeah, by if it's an important keyword, you know, either search terms, title, bullets, something like that.
Okay. Let me see. We had one from Jeffrey. Has Amazon's policy changed about putting made in the USA in the title? I'm seeing more listings with it in the title now.
Not as far as I know. Their title policy doesn't say anything about not using that. The things that you have to avoid in the title is using free, best, bonus, those kind of words.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Marina. Can I use competitors' brand names in my backend search keywords?
Well, you shouldn't. there are a few words that you can get away with. For example, if it's a plain word. So Trader Joe's. Trader is a plain word from the English dictionary. So you can get away with that, right? So there are sometimes words that you can use. Just remember that you can always advertise against your competitors. For a while, there was like a little hack that people were using in like the subject matter and target audience fields where they were putting competitor brand names in those because of that, or even in some of the other fields in more details. So that, but I have no idea what yeah. that. So I don't usually use competitor brand names unless it's like a, like I said, if it's a plain word that anybody would use, you shouldn't trademark those anyway. You learn your lesson.
Yeah. And for me, I don't do that. Like it's a really great debate that goes on, but I'll just use it in my ad campaigns and kind of stick away from that. I used to, but I just, if, hey, look, if that's going to get my wrist slapped, I'm not going to do it. And by the way, everything that we're talking about, what words can be used, what can't be used, what should be used, what Amazon's looking for, download the style guide. And that should help you out a lot with some of the answers. It tells you right there what they're looking for.
Okay, we just have a couple more. This is yep. from Brett. What's your take on compatible with and putting brand names in bullets?
So compatible with has, Amazon actually has policies about that. So you can use brand names as long as it is part of their policy on your price. So if you're selling a phone case, like obviously you need to be able to say compatible with iPhone 5, iPhone 6, whatever, you know, iPhone 5, where did that come from? Oh my gosh, that's old. I hope you're not selling phone cases for iPhone 5s, but but yeah. And when it comes to being, I just wrote a listing for a really cool piece of technology that's like a unique product, and that is like a retro game console accessory. And we had to kind of rewrite the listing because you know, they weren't using a main keyword that was going to target most of their audience. And because it was such a unique product, they were describing it in a way that nobody's searching for. So, so we rewrote the listing, but yeah, that is, you know, compatible with, in that case, we needed to use words like Nintendo, you know? So as long as you look up their policy and you are indeed selling something that's compatible with something, it's allowed as long as it is preceded by those words like compatible with. You can't just use like Apple in the listing on its own or the bots will flag you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Marina, I don't think this is a question, but that is what I thought about using brand names. When I search my brand name, all competitors organically pop up. So I was wondering if it changed.
So what they're doing, Marina, is they're advertising against your brand name and then they index for your brand name. Yeah, so that's how they're organically popping up when someone's searching your brand name. And that's something that you can do right back to them.
Okay, and last one. This might be a bit too big of a question to kind of dive into, but how do you do your keyword research? Using which tools and what's the process?
Well, I would love to dig into that, but it is like quite a long process. But the thing that I would like to tell you, Usman, is that you should not only use Amazon keyword tools. Like I said earlier, 60% of Amazon's external search, 51% of Amazon's traffic is direct, meaning people are going directly to Amazon searching for something. And of the external traffic, a lot of it's like something like 20% referral traffic. So that's like, you know, a referral link coming from another website, like social media, that kind of thing. But 60% comes from search. So why would you optimize your listing only for Amazon related keywords? So that's why I always do my keyword research, not only on Amazon tools, which I love using Amazon tools, but the way that I start my keyword research, the way that I start, and this is, you know, I'll cover in our class as far as like the main, finding your main keyword and then becoming most relevant for that keyword. But the way that I do it is I search like the customer. So if I'm, and anytime I'm writing a listing for someone, I look at the product and I'm like, okay, if I knew nothing more about the product, but that I wanted it, how would I search for it? And I use Amazon search bar because so many people do not write their listings to Amazon suggested searches. And that's how the customer searches. So I look for the product myself and see what Amazon is suggesting, what's in those top 10 dropdowns. And then I'll search different ways, right? So bottle for water, water bottle, you know, those kind of things, and see what the suggested searches are, what the medium to long tail keywords are, what the, you know, with keywords are, what the for keywords are. I look at all of those and then I put them in a document. We always use GreenShot. It's like a screenshotting tool. And so I'll put that in GreenShot, and I'll take a screenshot of it, put it in a doc, and then I throw all those keywords into my keyword tools. And I not only do that with Amazon suggested search, but I also do it on Pinterest, I do it on Google, and I'm looking for how people search for this, not only on Amazon, but off of Amazon. And then I throw those keywords into a tool and I rank them based on how relevant they are to my product. And this is how I can write an organic page one listing from the start without having to use any additional ranking strategies. Because if you're writing the two Amazon suggested search keywords, you're going to be the most relevant for that keyword. And so a lot of people, they will just, and I do this too, I reverse search competitors. You know, I'll reverse search competitors and see what they're doing, what they're ranking for, both organically and paid, right? And I'll get ideas from that. But at the end of the day, I want to be most relevant for that suggested search term, because that is where the money is, man. If I can get on page one for that suggested medium to long tail keyword, it's awesome, right? So I put those keywords into my tools, and then I use those. Look what the search volume is, not only on Amazon, but off of Amazon. I use tools like UberSuggest, Answer the Public. And then I also read blogs that are related to similar products, and I look at what language is used and how that those products are referred to. And that way, even if I'm not, even if on Amazon the suggested searches or on Amazon keyword tools, everyone is doing that one keyword, I can capture all the traffic that's searching based on these blogs that they're reading, these popular blogs that they're reading. They're searching for certain terms that a lot of people who only write their listings to Amazon are not even using. And so I'm getting all this traffic. I'm showing up in all these searches that my competitors are not. So that's kind of how I look at keyword searching and keyword tools. It's just my biggest tip for you is don't just use Amazon and use suggested searches, because put those in your keyword tools, because that is really going to help you understand what you should be writing your listing towards.
Yeah, one of the little things you can do too when you're looking at what Amy was talking about with the suggested searches, let's say you're looking for odorless bully sticks. Just put your cursor at the beginning and hit the space bar, and you'll see a bunch of long tails that'll fill up. It'll give you some other suggestions outside of what the top suggestions are. Also, we use, keywordtool.io. That's a pretty good tool. And it's a little bit tougher to find right now. It used to be so easy, but Keyword Planner just right out of Google. So those are more of, that's a freebie that you can use. But okay, so let's see. It is. See, I'm telling you, I got really terrible eyesight. I gotta go like this to see the time. All right, so it looks like we're about at the end of the podcast. It's time for Wheel of Kelsey.
It's my favorite time. Yeah. Okay. So just give me a second to pull it up. And share screen. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a lot of names today. You're very popular, Amy. Okay. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Wheel of Kelsey.
Who do you think gets that sound?
Who gets it? Faye. All right, Faye.
She really did. I mean, she tagged a lot of people in there, and you know, like, she was keeping it up the whole time. Good job, Faye.
All right. So all we need to do is get that information. So send your information over to Kelsey, and then we'll get it over to you, Amy.
Sounds great. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for entering today. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that was a blast, and it's always a blast having you on. Unfortunately, you can't make it onto the Clubhouse call at 1:30, but we'll have you on the Clubhouse, you know, next Monday maybe. Is there anything else? How do people get a hold of you, Amy?
Well, you guys can check out, we have a Facebook group, Amazing at Home. And so we always give lots of tips there. But you guys can always go to amazingathome.com as well. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, around the place. And I hang out with Norm a lot, you know, so.
I wish events were back on.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And right back at you.
I know, right? It's mutual. It's mutual. It's
mutual stalking.
Yes. Good stuff.
Okay. All right. So I think that's the end of the podcast. Amy, thank you. We'll see you again soon. And that's it. Kelsey, join me.
Okay. Yeah, all great right. Episode.
That was a lot of interaction there. And by the way, Usman, we're going to do something that will be specific to different types of keyword research on and off Amazon. So that is a full subject by itself. So we'll get back to that. Other than that, what's new, Kels?
Okay, so obviously we have our Clubhouse today. So if you're new, you can go over to our Facebook group. We have an event tab. And there you can find the link, but I also placed the link in all of the different platforms. I think I hit Facebook, YouTube. The link for the Clubhouse is there. If you just want to click on that at 1:30. And yeah, let me see. I think, do you want to go over next week's or tomorrow?
Well,
or,
I want to go over Wednesdays. Yeah. So if you want to, we have an incredible guest coming on. And he's going to be talking not only about his exit, but he's got a unique vision of entrepreneurship. And anyways, if you've heard of BoxyCharm, Joe Martin, CEO of BoxyCharm, is going to be on. He just sold his company for $500 million. So he's going to be talking to about how he built the brand, about the reason why he went to a subscription-based model, and his exit. So join us on Wednesday for that. It's going to be really great. Thursday, we got a special episode. What's that? With Tim.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, you were just agreeing. Okay. So we got Tim Jordan coming on, and we're going to be talking about mentorship. And then on Friday, Kevin King that's coming on, right?
That's right.
My buddy Kevin King. Maybe we'll have a virtual cigar together. But all right. So we got a really great week. And again, join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Eastern Standard Time. And what did I say? Kelsey, go on. I got to close the podcast. There we go. All right, now I can try to do this again. So join us Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. It was a pleasure. I love seeing all this engagement and the community growing. So join us next episode on Wednesday. Thanks, guys. 100, 100, 100.